Oh, hey there, Ghostbuster fans. Welcome to Why We Bust, a weekly show where we look at the Ghostbuster cosplay community across the world and we ask individuals the burning question that's on everybody's mind. Why do you do what you do? This show is powered by Memoriam Development, the Windy City Ghostbusters, and viewers like you. So turn that pack off, shut your trap, and take the night off and enjoy Why We Bust.
Welcome back, everyone, to Why We Bust, brought to you by the Windy City Ghostbusters, the show where we take a deep dive into the Ghostbusters fandom, one proton pack journey at a time. I'm your host, Matt Goldenboat, and today we've got something special for you. I am beyond excited to welcome a guest who has been a part of Ghostbusters history in a way few others have. You know her as the woman behind one of the franchise's most iconic characters, Slimer! That's right, we're talking to Robin Shelby, who brought Slimer to life in Ghostbusters 2 and later returned as Lady Slimer in Ghostbusters Answer the Call. We'll be talking about her early days in acting, her experiences working with the Ghostbusters franchise, the lasting impact of Slimer, and what she's up to now, including her YouTube series, Two Cops in a Car, and charities she's passionate about. So grab your PKE meters and settle in. It's time to find out why we bust. So Robin, welcome to the show. Had a pleasure chatting with you here in the green room. So, before we start real quick, so I have some of my Slimer stuff behind me, and I want to show you something that's been special to me since I was a kid.
Okay.
That is my McDonald's Slimer glass.
I have one.
Do you have one?
I have one too. We okay. Have like buddy glasses. Yeah.
We're twinsies.
Awesome. Yay. Very cool.
So I can remember as a kid drinking out of that. And, you know, I've often said on this show that, you know, Ghostbusters 2 is my favorite. So but let's take a little deep dive into who is Robin Shelby? What brought her to this point? And we'll kind of keep going here. So in your early days, what first got you interested in acting? Did you always know that's what you wanted to do?
You know, I started doing theater when I was 11. To be honest, my parents were getting divorced. I wanted an outlet. I was creative. And there was a community theater around the corner from where I lived and just got really involved in musical theater and got the acting bug like right away. So that's kind of how I got started. Just joining a children's theater group, basically.
Nice. I did a lot of acting in high school, and once that acting bug hits you, it's hard to shake. I will definitely admit that.
so true.
I know, right? Were there any actors, movies, or shows that inspired you early on?
Watching the rerun, honestly, Carol Burnett, and watching old Carol Burnett shows, absolute brilliance. And old shows like watching Laverne and Shirley, Happy Days. I kind of learned, I think, some comic timing watching old sitcoms that just were amazing. Welcome Back, Kotter. Really old series, but just great cast, great fun writing, and good timing. I kind of learned a lot just by watching those shows as a kid.
You know, they don't make shows like that anymore.
No, nope. Right.
But I definitely, like I was telling you earlier, you know, watching some of your work, I can definitely feel that aspect of the comedic timing where you picked some of that up. So definitely does not go unnoticed. So
thank you.
Yeah. So before Ghostbusters 2, I had noticed you worked on Willow.
I did. That's how I got introduced to ILM. I had an agent in San Francisco in the Bay Area. They said, oh, they're auditioning for something in ILM. Do you want to go? And I'm like, absolutely. And it was for a troll in the movie Willow. Willow meets a troll at the top of a bridge in the movie. And gets eaten, the troll gets eaten by a Hydra monster. Mm-hmm. A two-headed Hydra. I was the Hydra monster that got eaten. Very strange resume that I have. And that's kind of how I got introduced to ILM. And I tell this story too. The day that I was supposed to shoot, So I got cast. I'm like, okay, I'll see you next week. The night before, as I was getting ready to go to sleep and work the next day, I ended up getting the flu, 102 fever, throwing up. So here I am going to ILM, wearing a mask, being held 15 feet in a bar with the stomach flu. My father took a day off of work, packed me in the car, drove me there, because it was like an hour and a half away from where I lived, and took me there and drove me home to make sure that I got there safely. But I always say it's true. If I called in saying I'm sick, I can't be there, I wouldn't be talking to you about Ghostbusters today, I'm sure.
Right.
So I'm glad I went.
You never know what experiences are going to pave the way for something else.
Exactly.
So you powered through it, and you know you're here because of it. I didn't
even throw up that day. I did not throw up. I actually made it through, and I was good. So
that's great.
Very lucky.
Yeah. Now, did that experience prepare you for working in heavy special effects production?
Well, yes and no. It definitely prepared me for working behind a mask, but the difference between Willow and Slimer had so much hardware underneath to make everything work. The troll did not. The troll was very light, but it was warm, but not heavy. So it was definitely a different job than I had to get used to, but it definitely prepared me. It was my first real professional environment and job, so I learned a lot just being with them on the set. So that prepared me for Slimer in the sense that I got to learn what it was like being there at ILM and working with some amazing people.
Now, was that your first like break into the industry, was doing Willow, or did you have anything before that?
That was my first real job in a big project. Yeah. And my gosh, you know, a Ron Howard film, Willow, your first big job is pretty incredible when you're really young and you get that opportunity. But yeah, that was the first time I had a chance to like break into anything that was really mainstream. Yeah.
That's crazy. So lead me into a little bit about how you auditioned or how you got the role of Slimer.
I got called in. This is about a year after Willow. They had already previously cast somebody else to play Slimer. They lost him because they wrote Slimer out of the script. The guy who played Slimer took another job, and so they needed to recast somebody about his build, same kind of energy. And so they called me, not telling me what it was for. It was very... there's a project, we want to see you. I had no idea what it was for. And they just kind of put me through a few scenarios to see if I could take direction. It did involve, which at the time I had no idea, it did involve pretending to eat food and then seeing something and getting freaked out and running away. And they wanted to see that I could take a scenario and change it if they wanted it. But I had still no idea.
And you're like, what the heck am I auditioning for?
I'm like, but I knew it was ILM, and I loved working with them. It was only 2 days that I worked on Willow, but I kid in a candy shop. I had so much fun. So the fact that I didn't care what it was, I get to work with these people again that were so amazing. So I had no idea. And I went home. It went well. I met with Tim Lawrence, who was basically on set directing all the special effects. And I found out, I think like a day later from my agent, what it was. And then I got it. And then, of course, you're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? Am I going to be able to? There's big shoes to fill. This is a character that everybody loved. Very well known. So it was a feeling of, can I do this? And I'm excited at the same time. You know, it's like, I want to go there and just have a good time. And, but yeah, there was a weight. at the time that I got it on my shoulders, knowing I really wanted to do a good job for them.
Yeah, that was actually going to be one of my next questions was, you know, during that time, the real Ghostbusters had come out and Slimer was, you know, an intricate part of that. And, right. you know, Slimer ends up being this favorite character from the first movie. So, you know, you said you definitely felt the weight of that. You know, was that kind of weighing in the back of your mind, like as you're going through this process, like, oh my gosh, this is real.
No, I mean, honestly, my job was to go in and the Slimer from Ghostbusters to Ghostbusters 2 was a little different.
It was, yes.
A different, slightly different change, like a different personality. What I didn't want to do is immerse myself in the first film. I wanted to keep my mind open and listen to what they wanted me to do when I was on the set for Ghostbusters 2. So my job was to open slate, let's work, tell me what you need, and I'll do it. And I was able to somehow, with the people that were so amazing there, just let that go, the pressure, and just have fun with the puppeteers and everybody else that was there with me. We had a great time. And that let me kind of let go of the pressure while I was working.
That's cool. Working environment is definitely something that when you're in a situation like that, you want to be comfortable with everybody around you. Your experience at ILM, real quick, was there anything cool you saw behind the scenes of other movies you remember, or you're walking through the corridors of ILM, like, you know, prop, or did anything stick out in your mind from your time at ILM?
They were shooting Back to the Future 2 and 3 at the time. But it was like super, super secret. So like they had part of ILM, like they part of the building, the doors were shut. Everybody was kind of left out unless you were working on the project.
Sure.
But I knew they were there. And Back to the Future is one of my favorite films of all time. I absolutely adore Back to the Future. And to know that they were shooting 2 and 3, it was just, again, kid in the candy shop. I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. So it was all, it was a lot. But yeah, so I do remember that. I do remember they were shooting, you know, that at the time. But I was so busy for like 15 hours a day on the set of what we were doing. I didn't have a lot of time to be walking around and trying to get into the set of Back to the Future 2 and 3.
Right,
which
right.
I swear I did not. I did not. No. No, I didn't. Seriously, I didn't. I wanted to. But we were on our own set like for hours. Like, so it was just... It was so insane. I didn't have a lot of time to really focus on anything else, but no, cool things going on.
That definitely is. And I will fully Back to the Future 2 and 3 is my favorite. 2 is always up there. 1 always holds a special place in my heart, but I may or may not have several DeLoreans in a case across from me, but that's a story for another time. Oh,
such a good series.
Absolutely. So now we can only see so much on screen of, you know, like the bus scene, for example. Now we see you in the bus. How was that all actually shot?
It was shot in front of a blue screen.
It was,
and I had a hat on, but everything else was pantomimed. It was not there. And there was a scene. He picks Lewis up, as you know, but he also drops him off, which was cut. It's out there even. I think you could see what Lewis had shot.
It is out there. It is in the video.
But he drives him there, and Slimer wants to get off the bus and go with him. He wants to help. He wants to join him. And Lewis is like, no, you can't go, but you have great arms. We can go bowling. And then he licks Lewis and flies off. So that was one scene that went so well while we were shooting, and I was completely bummed, and I did not find out until the day I saw the movie that got cut.
Oh.
And I was really bummed because that kind of made, to me, that kind of was full circle why Slimer was doing what he was doing and why he picked him up and he saw him go with him. But it is, you know, it is what it is. Films, things get cut. You have to, you deal with it, you move on. But I'm so sorry.
No, you're okay. I was going to say, eventually it comes out on a special edition Blu-ray and, you know,
yes.
And the world finally gets to see, you know, the hard work that you put into that.
I would love ILM to put that together with Rick and what we shot. I don't know where that footage is, but ILM, if you're out there, if you're listening, please put it together because I think the fans would love it and I would be forever grateful. That would be so fun to see that.
You never know who's watching.
You know?
Yes. So did you actually get to work with Rick on that? Like, were you able to? Okay.
He shot in New York, actually. All of his stuff was already done by the time we got it. And what I did have to do is take that scene, picking him up on the bus and dropping him off, and listen to it about 5,000 times in my hotel room and know the timing because I couldn't see a lot, but I had to hear and know how to react to what Rick had already shot. So I swear I probably had that on loop and played it about 500 times to get the timing down. But it went really well. It went really well. So much fun. And Rick, he's one I've not been able to have the pleasure of meeting yet, but I want to tell him how much I look up to him so much. He's so amazing. What a great actor he is.
You know, like we talked about earlier, comedic timing. If there is somebody in the industry that was able to hit on every single note of a scene, Rick Moranis is and will always be one of the best. In my humble opinion.
He's flawless. He's absolutely flawless with his timing. And yes, I just adore him. Yeah.
Yep.
And one day I hope to say that to his face because he's just amazing. He's incredible.
Well, I mean, since you listen to his voice enough, if you're in a restaurant somewhere, just keep an ear out. I'm sure you'll be able to pick up on that in a second. So now let's talk a little bit about the Slimer suit. And sure. I told you earlier, and then for those out there, you can actually go on YouTube and watch a slightly painful video of watching Robin get out of the Slimer suit. So walk me through a day of what it was like being Slimer.
The day took about 35, 40 minutes getting into the costume with the help of about four or five other people. The day consisted of me not being able to eat anything while I was in the costume because it was so intricate and would not be fast to get out of that they didn't want to take any chance of me eating something and choking and being in the costume and not being able to get out. I was able to sip on some water, basically. And sometimes they got me a little bit of smoothie that I would drink while we were shooting. But in general, like, yeah. So Slimer could not eat. I'm just putting that out there. Slimer was not allowed to eat food. Just saying. But we would shoot. I was there anywhere between 12 and 15 hours for the day. Shooting or, you know, watching playback. And then I would drive home another hour and 20 minutes. After a 15-hour day. And then wake up, drive another hour, 20 minutes, work another 12 to 15 hours, and drive back. And at one point, I fell asleep at the wheel going home. Luckily, it was late and nobody was there. I went off the shoulder of the road with nobody being there. And it woke me up and scared. I got home okay. Thank goodness. I didn't hurt myself or anyone else. But I told them about it the next day and they said, okay, go home, grab clothes, and there's a hotel about 10 minutes from here. We're going to put you up so you don't have to make that drive. And it was amazing. It helped so much because it gave me like 2 hours of my day back to get sleep, to go and rest. And it was great. But it was long days, but it's not that long when you're doing something that you completely love. And to me, it was just like not that big of a deal. to be honest. I was having a great old time, so it didn't matter.
I'm sure. Now, you and I talked a little bit earlier about that, the mole tape that they had. So tell us, what is it like being inside of basically an animatronic, a very complex animatronic?
They had to take a mold of my face because there's like a plate that kind of went over my nose and over my forehead. So when I would move, it would be fit to my head. So Slimer's head would move. So it was like literally conformed to my face. The thing is, there's metal pieces and leather pieces in there. But the metal, we were talking about, was going across my nose. And when we would move around, the first couple of days, it was like cutting into my nose and it was bleeding. So they had to take what they call moleskin, put it over my nose to add some protection between the metal and my nose, which helped an awful lot. But you don't know those things until you start working in it. Right. And then after we shot for like, we rehearsed for like, I don't know, 3 to 4 weeks. We shot for a good 2. By the end of the shoot, I started calling Slimer. It smelled like dead monkeys. Is what I called it. It was bad between like sweating and like and the hours of being in there and sweating all day. It got pretty bad. But hey, again, you do what you got to do.
It was all worth it. How much could you actually see? Now, was your vision through the mouth?
Yes. If you take your hand and kind of do this, that's kind of what you could see. And like the scene where Slimer's eating a Togo sandwich, a sub sandwich, it was going in the mouth and against my face. So I smelled like onions for like 2 weeks after we shot that. Because it was a real sub sandwich. And it had to go somewhere, so it went like right up against my face.
Right into your face. I mean, he's gluttonous. It's got to go somewhere. So you got the brunt of it.
I took one for the team. It's all good.
You took one for the team. I like it.
I did.
What were some of the biggest challenges of being in that suit?
Really great question. I would say the biggest challenge was the weight. Because of all the metal and the servos and the all the hardware that went with it. I mean, at the time we shot that, I probably weighed 90 pounds and the costume was probably like 45. So it was a lot. So not even the heat was the worst thing. Probably the weight was more of a challenge. And because of the motors, hearing people on set, and direction was difficult. It's like you're in a very loud Cessna airplane being in this suit. Cause there's like air all over the place. So it was really not easy to hear. That was a challenge too.
I could imagine that. How many puppeteers were on Slimer for you?
I think we had 6. They had someone running the tongue, someone running the eyebrows, someone running the cheeks. The lips, every part of Slimer's face actually moved,
right?
Which was incredible. And part of the rehearsal process was just me sitting and reacting with the puppeteers to like being sad, being happy. And then they would work with the face and the eyes and the cheek and the tongue and I would work with them to match what they were doing. So it kind of took definite teamwork and knowing what they were doing, they needed to know what I was doing to make it look cohesive and together.
Right. It's almost like a dance.
Completely.
You got to learn the moves and you got to be able to work with your partner on it. And in the end, it's what we end up seeing on screen, which, you know, you would never really realize how much work actually went into, like you said, weeks of preparing and, you know, working with the team to try to get all of that cohesive.
And it, definitely was not just me. It took a village to make that work. And that village had to work together and learn each other and know what we were going to do. And I'm really proud of what we accomplished working together, and the rehearsals were great, and everyone there that I met's like the best of the best. So I thought it turned out really good.
I can definitely tell you this. 8-year-old me, and I'm aging myself now. I absolutely loved it. It, you know, as a kid, seeing a character that I was growing up with the real Ghostbusters and loving Slimer from the first movie. The first time you see Slimer in Ghostbusters 2, it lights you up inside. So bravo to all of your work on that. Now,
thank you.
Now, going a little bit deeper into this, mm-hmm. Slimer has a very distinct personality. How did you bring some of your own touches to the movements?
I tried to not restrain myself, because I think Slimer is very unrestrained. And,
yeah.
And in my head, and nobody told me to do this, but you know how the Belushi had a very just a way of just letting go. Nothing held him back. Mm-hmm. And I kind of took that attitude of just being completely open, completely free, completely crazy, and trying to be as nutty as I could be in that 45-pound costume. I that was my challenge too, is just keeping up that manic, that energy that Slimer has, which he is. He's very manic in a lot of ways, which is so much fun. So yeah. just trying to keep him just very energetic and unapologetically crazy while we were shooting.
Yep, and again, you did a fantastic job of portraying that. So and now meeting you, you know, obviously through cameras, your personality, and I can definitely now put two and two together that that's you in the suit, because you have a great personality, and it definitely, yeah, it shows through your work in that. Now I'm sure a lot of people are dying to know, did you get to interact with any of the main cast from the movie, or meet any of the main cast from the movie?
Yeah, actually, while we were shooting, it was a Friday toward the end of what we were shooting. Bill Murray was looping for the movie at Skywalker Ranch, which is very near ILM. Mm-hmm. Shows up, introduces himself, hangs out, and then at the end of the day turns the soundstage into, brings in a DJ, brings in drinks, and just has just you know, very random, like you'd expect. And of course, again, I'm looking at Bugs Bunny, right? I'm just in awe of this. And I'm also one of the biggest SNL fans you'll ever meet. I love SNL. And of course, I adored Bill Murray from SNL. So, I mean, I just looked up to him so much. And I can honestly say I got a Zerbert from Bill Murray. I got a, you know what a Zerbert is, right?
I do not.
Okay. Is where I'll show you a Zerbert. That's a Zerbert.
Gotcha.
And he does it a lot. He did that in Scrooge. With one of the characters, he Zerberts him in the tummy, I think, on the stomach. But that's one of the things he does. He's random like that.
Yeah. That's great. And I mean, growing up, I always knew that as a raspberry. So
true. Yes. Raspberry Zerbert, it's the same thing. You're right.
Yep. No, I know exactly what you mean now. So I mean, that had to be an incredible experience. Again, something you're gonna take with it. Yeah, and yeah, to hang out with Murray and Adige. Anyways, it sounds like a great time. But so
during during the shoot, that's the only person I actually that I was able to meet while we were shooting. I've done some conventions and have actually I've been very lucky to meet a lot of the fans, just which I have yet to do a convention in Illinois, my hometown, my home state. So I need to get myself out there and do a convention in Illinois with the great people of Illinois.
We do a great one out here called Fan Expo. So maybe I smell a little collaboration. You never know.
You know, I would so be there. It would be great. It'd be good. Like coming home again.
Good stuff. But, I like it. Get some Italian beef, some deep dish pizza, and
yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. Deep dish pizza. I'm so there.
I would say so Slimer is gluttonous. What yes. Is there an Illinois specific food that you miss? Is it the deep dish?
Yes, the pizza. Hands down, it's the pizza. No question.
I will agree with you. I can always go for a good Lou Malnati's. That's my go-to with a nice sausage patty.
So one day we all have to go for deep dish pizza if I'm out there. Okay. Deal?
I'm in. Deal. Robin.
All right.
Sounds like a plan to me. So what was it like seeing yourself on the big screen for the first time? If we're Ghostbusters.
Yeah. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what was still in there. I was keeping my fingers crossed, hoping for the best that it looked good, that what we did looked good. I think what I saw looked good. I was disappointed in what didn't actually make the final film. And I heard a lot of that was just for time. I also became really good friends. And he kind of became a mentor, Michael Gross, who was mm-hmm. the producer.
Yeah.
I miss him. Like he seriously became like a father figure. Just an amazing person. So he was a mentor, a person who was just absolutely incredible to me. Just great. But seeing it on, I guess that was my disappointment, seeing it on screen was what was not there. The things that got cut. But like I said, you know, as an actor, you learn that pretty quickly that things get cut, and it's not always about you why it gets cut. Sometimes it just happens. You just gotta move on and go to the next project.
Yep. And that's, you know, such is life. So you've had,
you know, exactly.
One of my favorites, it is what it is. But even with what you were able to do, you've made a lasting impact, you know, for generations to come. And, you know, a lot of people may not even, you know, realize, because, you know, today we're spoiled with visual effects and things like that. Growing up with the old school way of doing it, that's always my favorite is seeing, you know, Ghostbusters 2 and anything that was, you know, puppeteered. I always like to watch the Jim Henson specials where they showed the behind the scenes stuff. Like that's yes. amazing. And with everything today, like I said, that's all a lot of visual effects. You got to be a part of one of the most iconic characters that was still someone, you know, braving it in the suit with the animatronics puppeteer. So that's, you know, for generations to come, I hope people are able to enjoy that. And we were talking, you know, that stuff is available to find on YouTube watching you get out of major props, Robin. Major props.
There's something about any practical effect
yes.
that just has living, breathing heart to it that it's just hard to get with CGI usually. Yes. I think some filmmakers that are even coming out of film school today are going back to that. Mm-hmm. And realizing that practical effects can really improve the look, and it's just a better outcome when it comes to especially a character. Like when you're talking about a special effect of the ocean coming over a ship, or, you know, something that isn't living, breathing with a personality, it's a little different than Slimer's got a spirit, a soul, a personality, and you're not going to get the same effects with CGI, I don't think. I mean, it's just my own opinion.
I am a firm believer in exactly that. So yeah, we're on the same page with that. Now, did everybody around you, family and friends, did they know that that's what you were doing, or was it kind of a little bit of a secret?
Hush. Yeah, I really couldn't talk about it while I was shooting it. My father knew because he had to occasionally drive me there, but I think it wasn't something I could talk about freely. I kind of had almost like an NDA, although there really wasn't an NDA. It was kind of understood. Look, we don't want you like talking about this right now. Because I think even having Slimer in Ghostbusters 2 was kind of, at the time, not really, they didn't want it to get out. They wanted it to be a surprise for the fans.
Yeah.
That he was there. Yeah.
Yeah. And today, today we get all the spoiler stuff. And so good job keeping that under wraps. Now, once people finally found out, what was their reaction?
It really took a while, like with social media, it took a while for anyone to even realize there was a human being in Slimer or who it was. It really did. And that's fine. I didn't really put myself out there too much in the beginning. And then somebody approached me who had a website saying, I want to do a screening in the Bay Area and have you there. And that kind of introduced me to the fans at first. That was kind of like the first time anyone even really thought, oh yeah, okay, there's somebody in there and this is who it is. So it took a few years to even put a face to Slimer at all, as far as knowing there was not only a person, but a female that was in the costume, which was kind of cool.
So social media can definitely ignite things like that and, kind of put you at the forefront. And now you get to be a part of the whole Ghostbusters fandom. And
I'm so lucky.
You are definitely are, which is going to lead us into the next thing. Because a lot of people may not realize this, but you did have some work that you did in Ghostbusters Answer the Call.
I did.
Tell us about it.
It was Christmas of 2015, and I'm at my computer, and I get a message on Twitter from Paul Feig, who I'd never met. So when you get a message from Paul Feig, you kind of read it like right away. And he said, I think I have something in Ghostbusters to Answer the Call you might be interested in. And I said, and I screamed, and my husband's like, what? What's wrong? What's wrong? And I showed it to him. He goes, well, stop screaming. Tell him yes. Write him back. Say you'll do it. And, but he reached out to me. It was almost like he had no idea he knew who I was. The fact that he took the time to get a hold of me, find out how to get a hold of me and reach out like that, it just kind of tells you a lot about Paul Feig. Really amazing guy.
Yeah, and I absolutely love that movie.
I do too.
It's one of my frequent rewatches.
Yes.
Now, what was your role in that?
I was the voice of Lady Slimer. So I'm one of the few actors in the world that played my own love interest, when you think about it. I need therapy for this. I need therapy.
You know what? So I didn't Slimer. Think about that earlier. Lady Slimer. Did not even think about that earlier, but that is.
So it's true. I played my own love interest in a film. But I was, again, so different. It's 6 weeks of being in a hot costume to one day of being in a studio, recording. So it was like so different, but I was so honored to even be thought of, honestly. The fact that he reached out, I'm still grateful to this day that he did that. So Paul, if you're watching, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
I was going to ask you, what was it like returning to a franchise that, you know, at that point had kind of slowed down a little bit? You know, we sometimes talk about the gap years. You know, we had Extreme Ghostbusters, and then for a while there was just not a whole lot. So, you know, when you got that, like, did that ignite that passion back for being Slimer? Or Lady Slimer in this case?
Yeah, I mean, again, I felt a little bit of, even though Lady Slimer, this is like something that I got to create for the first time, because she had never been seen before. But I still pressure, because again, new character, a franchise I'm a part of that I absolutely love, and you don't want to screw it up, right? You just want to go and make everyone on the set happy with what you did. And yeah. I was paranoid. A lot of actors are like this, though. I left that day thinking, oh, is he going to like what I did? Is everything okay? Is it going to work out? Turns out he was happy. He was happy, which I was so relieved. But again, I just wanted to, I was so happy that they were making another film to reignite that, the fandom and the passion for it. I just wanted to, again, do a good job and not disappoint.
We're our own worst critics, right? At the end, totally. Whenever I do stuff where I film stuff for work and things like that, I always look back and I go, God, is that really? Okay. We're running with it. And that's just that's what people are going to see. And as long as you're doing your best and you're being yourself, that's absolutely what matters. Right.
And that's all you can do. That's all you can do.
Exactly. Now, did you have, cause you did voice acting for that. Did you have a chance to meet any of the cast from that movie? Cause that has an amazing cast of people. And I happen to catch a picture somewhere of you with Kate McKinnon.
I got to meet, again, Bugs Bunny moment. I adore her. She's so talented.
Yes.
She is the funniest person on the planet. She's so great. And I got to meet her at the premiere. And she was excited to meet me. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. And I was just like, I was on cloud nine thinking, well, this is like one of my favorite actresses. I get to say hi, take a picture. One of my all-time favorite moments in the franchise. It was really cool.
I will definitely agree with all of that. Now, was do you have a favorite moment from Answer the Call? Besides, obviously, Lady Slimer.
Interesting. You know, I'm like you. I have watched it a lot. Yeah. And I've actually put it on, or it might be on, I'm flipping through Sling or something, and it's on there. I'll just watch it. Yep. Is there a favorite moment? You know what's funny? I really love the opening with the tour guide.
Yes.
I mean, it's a great opening. And you said, did you get to meet anybody? When I was doing my voiceover, what was his name? The guy who played the tour guide was there shooting voiceover. You know what he's holding onto the wood? Because he's about to, everything is yes. crashing around him. And he's screaming. No, no. He was doing the voiceover for that before I went in to do Lady Slimer. And of course, at that point, I didn't know what the opening, I didn't see what he had done. He's brilliant. So good. But yeah, I got to meet him and kind of see what he got to do. But
nice. Yeah, my favorite is towards in the battle scene where Kate McKinnon pulls out the proton pistols.
My gosh. With
the music and just watching her go to town, that I think that's one of the best parts of the movie. Again, with her being an amazing actress and being able to
yes.
just pull that scene off. That is one of my favorites. So but yeah.
There's a lot of really cool moments in it. Yeah.
There really are.
I enjoy it. And I actually really love the director's cut of it, where you get to see more of it. Yes. It explains more and it just kind of makes a little more sense. But I'm proud of it. I know there's a lot of back and forth and different opinions. And to be honest with you, I will go down on record saying I'll always be proud of being a part of that. Always.
You know what? And as you should. Absolutely. So, well, that's going to kind of lead us into our next segment here. When did you realize just how passionate Ghostbusters fans are?
When I started doing conventions, I realized that the amount of people that just adore the franchise and what I think what I saw too, not just the fans, but the fans would go out of their way to do good for their community. They would like the charities and the cancer walks and like you name it. It's like they're so giving as far as trying to raise money to help in their area. I'm really proud of that. It's like they take a fandom and they turn it into something so great. And they've given so much back, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, and that's, you know, shameless plug for us. We raise money for La Rabita's Children's Hospital and a couple other organizations.
Yes.
You know, that's
awesome.
When I joined our group, that was actually, it wasn't even at the forefront, but when I learned about it, I was like, holy cow, like, this is really cool. Like, I get to dress up like a Ghostbuster and raise money for kids. I'm
in. You're taking a fandom and you're helping people with something that you absolutely love, right?
Absolutely.
And it's so cool. And I think that's what I saw right away too, is like people were doing something really great with the fandom, but, I've run into so many like appreciative people at conventions that all they want to do is say thank you for what you've contributed to the fandom, and it's been always a great experience meeting the fans, honestly.
Yep. Now you've done quite a few conventions. Do you have a favorite fan interaction, like one that really sticks out?
Okay, this is kind of a funny story. I have an uncle who I have a second cousin removed that I hadn't met, and he sent my second cousin removed to come over and say, "Can you sign my tush with your name?" And I'm like, I can't do that. I'm sorry. And my uncle was dying, like seeing all this, like totally pranking me.
Oh my God.
That was probably, yeah, that was like the funniest interaction and unexpected interaction.
I will say that tops a lot of them. For things being asked to sign also.
They got me big time.
Yes, it sounds like they did. Now, have you encountered anybody dressed as Slimer at any of these conventions?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And I've had some conventions wanting me to put their own Slimer costume on. And it's I won't generally do that, because what I got to do was so special with right. the Slimer that I had that I generally just say, I'll take a picture with it, but I generally won't get into another Slimer costume in general. But yeah, I see a lot of people dressed as Slimer. Absolutely. Yeah. Almost every convention. Yeah.
That's great. It's again, it goes back to the lasting impact that the character has really had. Why do you think fans connect with Slimer so much?
That's a really good question. Maybe because he has like such abandon of everything and just does what he wants to do. And he's adorable. The character's cute. I think in his own way. Kids relate and love Slimer. I think he's happy, he's goofy, and does what he wants to do. And I think people can relate to that.
Absolutely. And I mean, I can come up with all the answers on my own, but hearing it from somebody who's so tied to the character.
I'm curious. I'm gonna ask you, what do you think? What are your favorite elements that would draw you to Slimer?
It's really the goofiness and just kind of being all over, and but still it's like you want to know, like, what was Slimer before he became a ghost?
Right.
You know, what's Slimer's backstory? Like, and there's if you read into it, there's lots of stuff out there. And but you know, I was always curious, like, where did he come from? But then watching him on Real Ghostbusters and then seeing him in movies, it's almost like he's your friend. He's your friend that, you know, that could be sitting next to you slamming pizza, pizza all over his face. Like, you know, I had a friend like that growing up. But you know, like, it's someone that you want to hang out with, and he's a ghost, but he's a friendly ghost. So.
Right. I don't think there's been really anything nefarious about Slimer. Yeah. Nothing too scary and awful. Like, just at the heart is just very playful, I think.
Yeah.
Is at the heart of what Slimer is too.
Even in the first movie, he was just trying to eat.
And enjoyed driving them crazy, flying around, and
exactly.
He was just having fun.
And Venkman had to go and ruin it, I tell you. So the Ghostbusters franchise, it's really evolved over the years. What's your take on where it's going now and what you kind of see in its future?
I think they're still adding to it. I think there'll still be more films. I think there might be, you know, more animation to come with Ghostbusters. It's so open. You know, and the fans are still up for it and hungry and want to see more. So who knows? I mean, it's unlimited, whatever people decide to write and put paper to pen and say, this is what we can do. And your creativity limits it. But I would love to see, obviously, more films and, you know, an animated series and merchandise with Slimer on it.
Yes. Yeah. We need more Slimer merchandise, let me tell you.
Right? But no, I mean, I don't think it's over yet. I think fans are still very, very excited about it and still support it. And I think it still has a life to it. I don't think it's over yet.
It's definitely not. Now, if you could return to the franchise in any capacity, what do you think you would want to do? And it doesn't have to be Slimer. Would you want to do like a supporting role or a cameo or anything like that again?
Absolutely. You wouldn't even have to ask me twice. Yes. It would almost be fun to be a person who gets slimed by Slimer in a film, or, you know what I mean? That would be kind of fun to be a victim of Slimer and get slimed by him. That would be a blast.
Yes, I will agree with you on that.
That's kind of game for anything.
That's a perfect full circle right there.
You know, I'm putting it out there. You know, it definitely. But literally anything. I'm so supportive of the franchise, obviously. I'd be kind of willing to consider just being a part of it. I'm just honored to be. The fact that I'm in two of them. How many people are able and lucky enough to say that? And I feel very fortunate.
You absolutely are, Robin. What's your favorite Slimer moment from all the movies?
Wow. Oh, that is a good question. There's so many. My favorite Slimer moment. And this is totally biased. I have to say the bus. I love Slimer actually driving the bus, and I love Lewis's reaction to it.
Absolutely.
About his license. You really can't beat it. And Rick Moranis is perfect as always. But I would have to say the bus. I would say flying around by the chandelier in the ballroom. is probably from the originals another that I would say you kind of fell in love with them then too. Do you have a favorite?
Do I have a favorite Slimer moment?
Yeah.
You know, I and not the bus moment.
You're saying that because I'm here.
I'm not. I swear, I am not, because it was unexpected. Like that's what I like about that moment. You know, he's all geared up, he's all ready, and the door opens, and there's Slimer. So no,
it was a great reveal. Yeah, it was.
It really is, and I can see how they would want to keep that under wraps. So yeah. Now, if you could bust ghosts with any of the Ghostbusters, answer the call, or OG, new movies, who would you want to bust ghosts with?
Lewis.
That was the answer I was hoping for.
Hands down. I'm sorry. Yeah, technically. Is he a Ghostbuster? Maybe technically no, but he did put on a suit in Ghostbusters 2. And he did kind of... Lewis. No question. Lewis.
Of course, I love Venkman and...
Oh, yeah.
But, like, that would be... But, yeah, Lewis would just be a blast. you'd have to look over every now and be like, what are you doing? Are you okay? So, and you know, we're gonna get a little away from Ghostbusters now. And I really appreciate all of your insight into what your experiences were like. But I did want to ask, what does being a part of the Ghostbusters legacy mean to you?
It's surreal, honestly. It's kind of like something bigger than obviously me, and just the fact that I somehow got lucky enough to be a part of 2 and answer the call. I don't know how I managed to have that happen, but one of the luckiest girls there are. It means the world. I mean, it's just, it's unique how many people can actually say that. There's few people in the world that can say they were part of Slimer, and I'm one of them. So it's lucky, just lucky, and surreal is a good word for it.
I like that answer. So I think surreal is the best culmination of your whole experience, because being as young as you were and delving into that, and then being able to come back to it, and then now being able to enjoy what we have now that's evolved from the Ghostbusters fandom. It's amazing. Right. I'm happy for you that you are able to enjoy all this now.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So, I do want to talk, and I'm going to encourage all of our watchers and listeners here in the future to go check this out. Robin has a little YouTube show. Not little. It's actually, there's quite a few episodes. You said 4 seasons, and it is called 2 Cops in a Car. So I watched quite a few episodes, and I was laughing my butt off. Let me tell you, it is, like we had touched, it's comedic timing. It is, it's you and your husband. So there's a little bit of, it's almost spousal interaction with it too. Like it's, you can tell that you guys enjoy playing off of each other in.
Oh, we have so much fun.
So how did that come about?
We first did, this is our second web series. And it was just, you want to keep yourself busy. You want to keep yourself creative. So sometimes you write your own stuff. And we just decided to develop a web series that's easy to shoot. It's always in a car, generally. We had one episode during the pandemic that was in our apartment that we're sticking out. And that was during COVID. But we developed it to stay busy and have fun and stay creative. And bring sometimes other people into the mix that we want to work with. It's just out of necessity. Just like I want to stay busy and have fun. That's why we developed it. And it's crazy. There's no morals to the story. It's just silly. Very airplane-esque with wordplay in it, like we were talking about.
Yeah.
And that's kind of our sense of humor. That's another movie that both my husband and I love, is Airplane. It's just so silly. And so crazy. It's just our, it's our sense of humor for sure. So that's why I think we're going to do one more season. We brought on a few guests that we just released one. We were kind of excited to bring in some guest stars that we've used. From the original Chorus Line on Broadway, there's the actress Kay Cole, who played Maggie. I don't know if you're familiar, but again, somebody that I look up to. We brought her in the backseat of the car, and she plays a profiler, someone who's kind of profiling a suspect.
Nice.
And it's fun to include some really talented people that we know. We brought in our really dear friend, Barry Pearl, who was in the movie Grease as the character Duty. And he's phenomenal. Absolutely hysterical. So again, we do it for fun. We do it just to put content out there, and just to stay busy. And we're proud of it. We're really with the little budget that we've worked with. We're proud of what we've created.
Well, like I said, I really enjoy it, and I am gonna watch it and finish all of it, because you pulled me in. So I'm a big proponent of watching, you know, shows on YouTube and, you know, promoting or feeding into stuff like that, because, you know, the views and stuff, it helps you. It helps it with the algorithms and such. So look out for my subscription to that.
And they're short. They're like, yeah, it's anywhere between 2 and 5 minutes is the longest one, I think. So they're, my husband says I write for people that have ADHD that can just stay focused for like 3 minutes. But it's true. It's really easy to binge watch because they're so short, and right. It doesn't require a lot of focus for a long period of time.
Absolutely. So everybody out there, go watch it. You're going to have a laugh, I promise. So thank you for continuing to make content for people, because that is, you know, you're a great personality, and, you know, people deserve to see anything that you do. So to kind of wrap things up, I know that you've been involved with some charity work and such. So can you tell us about some of the causes that you're passionate about?
Absolutely. The one thing that I found, which would be really helpful if you guys want to check out a really great charity right now, it's with Habitat for Humanity, and it's called HabitatLA.org. And it's rebuilding from the LA fires and helping people who are homeless, people that need to rebuild. I would encourage you to check it out. Again, it's HabitatLA.org. You can either sign up to volunteer, to donate. If you need help, you can go there too. So that's kind of a one-size-fits-all website to go to. Totally encourage you to do that. A lot of people need a lot of help right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, as I shared with you, I was actually just out in California not too long ago, and, you know, you could see the haze and everything, and it's devastating. So, you know, thank you for helping with that and giving back to the community. Because that's, you know,
it's what you guys do. Pat yourself on the back too. You guys do some good stuff.
We thank you. So yeah, I think that that's gonna be a wrap. So Robin, I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for hanging out with us here for the hour. And this has been an absolute pleasure. So we welcome you to Chicago to come join us for a convention. If you ever have a chance,
pizza. Come back. I want pizza.
We're going to I promise you, we will get some pizza, and
be so great.
Absolutely. So,
well, and you guys, James, thank you for having me on. Honestly, it's been a pleasure.
No, thank you. It's been great. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for joining us. So, folks, tune in for the next episode of Why We Bust. We'll meet you back here next time. Stay safe.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Why We Bust. See you guys next time when we look at another Ghostbuster and find out what makes them tick.
Memoriam Development. Memoriam Development.